You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Lee Slattery's victory in the M2M Russian Open sees him win back his card.
Missing out by one last year, it's been tough and, you know, having to ask a lot of promoters for invites. You know, it's just nice to be able to finish the year off like this with a win, knowing that, you know, I can plan next year now, you know, hopefully get myself going again to where I belong, I feel.
We'll congratulate Lee Slattery in a few minutes' time on the show. He finished on 15 under to pip Argentina's Estanislao Goya to the title in Moscow.
After the how I started the year playing and the way I played, you know, this tournament, he gave me a better taste in the mouth, you know. One point I was leading, you know, and I mean I done the best. I think I played great and he just beat me by one, but what can I do? I'm just pretty happy anyway.
We'll review the action from the Skolkovo Golf Club and look ahead to the KLM Open in the Netherlands. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined on the Race to Dubai show by Ewan Murray. Ewan, how are you?
I'm in top form. It's a great time of the golfing year. There's something seems to happen every single day.
And last week, it was Lee Slattery's week in the Russian Open. An important win for Lee after a tough year, Ewan.
Very difficult, the finish to last year, finishing just outside the top 110. And it's a long way back from there. So I'm thrilled for him. His second victory. And he's now got a platform, really, to press on from here.
He's always been a talented player. The last win coming in Spain, a long time between drinks, as they say. It goes to show you and how tough it is to win on the European Tour.
Well, there's so many good players out there from so many different countries, and we're seeing that as the years tick by. We've had Chinese players doing so well at the start of the year, and no doubt it might not be too long before we see a Russian player doing well.
Entering the final round, Ewan, Lee had a two-shot lead. The pressure was on him. He started well with an early birdie, but he was soon caught. It was a good battle between himself and Estanislao Goya.
I think what told in the end was the fact that Slattery was already a winner and Estanislao Goya is still looking for that maiden victory, so perhaps more pressure on the Argentine player.
Where do we think the key turning point was for Lee Slattery down the stretch, Ewan?
For me, it was 14, the long putter 14, and at that point, Goya was putting two bogeys together in the space of three holes. I think when you look back, you look at the magical moment at 17 as being the deciding moment, but I always think turning points on a final day happen between 12 and 15 in the afternoon, and last week was no different.
You mentioned that chip in on 17. It was a part of Lee's game that he suggested wasn't working, and it was the short game that he has been working on in the run-up to the Russian Open. And sometimes it's moments like that that you can see he's worked so hard on that can make such a difference down the stretch.
I think it shows you how important it is to have balanced practice, because you can spend too much time perhaps on your long game and you ignore the short game, or vice versa. So it's getting the balance right of spending the right amount of time on the long shots and enough time on the short game. So when you go out there, you're sharp.
There was a number of delays over the course of the weekend because of bad weather. Same on the Sunday as well. And that can be difficult for players because I guess they gear up to start at certain times. And when you've got that two-shot lead heading into the final round, it can play on your mind. The pressure can build, I guess.
It's how you deal with that time. If you start thinking too far ahead and you've got 2 hours to think that far ahead, then you could be in trouble. But Slattery's been around for a long time. He obviously did the right things and got off to a good start with an opening birdie. So that would have settled him down. But in the end, it was a great tussle between the two over the last few holes.
It was indeed. And of course, the par 5 18th always gave players the opportunity maybe to get an eagle. A birdie wasn't quite good enough for Goya, but it made for a good finish.
Yeah, and it just showed you the importance of the chip in at 17, because it gave himself a big enough cushion to feel comfortable going into that 18, even though he made it tougher than he really would have wanted. But there's nothing quite like knocking in a 3 or 4 foot putt to win a tournament. Great for the mind.
Those two had a great tussle over the back nine. We saw one or two players get a little closer to the leading duo, with David Horsey just a shot further back. But you got the sensation that there just wasn't enough in the bag for a number of players coming from off the pace to try and catch either Slattery or Goya.
I thought David Horsey looked very comfortable going into the back nine, and having won just a week or two back there over in Denmark, he had that confidence to take into the closing few holes. To his credit, he didn't drop a shot over the final 18 holes, but in the end, three birdies meant he came up just a little bit shy.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we can speak to the latest winner on the European Tour as Lee Slattery joins us on the Race to Dubai show. Lee, congratulations. How does it feel to be fully exempt once more on the European Tour?
It's been a bit of a battle this year. It's been very up and down, you know, trying to get starts in tournaments. I've managed to get a few invites this year, but it's taken a lot of weight off my shoulders.
Talk us through the final 18, because you started well, having led gone into Sunday, but it was a good battle between yourself and Stanislav Goya.
It was really, yeah. I mean, it was very similar to my first win in Madrid. I started the day 2 shots ahead and lost the lead fairly early on and battled back to win it. So, the two victories have been very, very similar in a lot of ways. But, when you've been there before and you've done it before, it does make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, just watching it on television as I was, that seemed to be the difference between yourself and Stanislav. There were some turning points as well during that back nine, that put on 14, and obviously the chip in at 17, Lee.
Yeah, I think the putt at 14, it just gave me a chance. I think Tano was playing really well at that point. And although he hit a bad shot into the 13th, I still thought he had the upper hand a little bit. So I needed to put some pressure on him. So that was a huge putt. And obviously the chipping on 17, I'm just trying to get that thing close. You know, as you can imagine, for it to go in was just a huge bonus. It was great.
Lee, how low did you get finishing 111th in the Race to Dubai last year?
Yeah, I maybe got a little bit low because it had been just a mad year. I mean, a lot of great things had happened. I got married, you know, we'd had a baby, and there were a lot of positives to take out of the year. But also, Faye's dad hadn't been well, so that was a little bit of a negative as well. So that was a sort of a tough battle for everybody, really. So it was quite a long year. So I think if I'd have finished 110 and just scraped in, it would have been a hell of an effort. So I suppose I did look back on the year and think, well, you know, I've not played well, because I played really well back end of the season to give myself a chance. But, you know, someone's got to finish in that position. And as it turned out, a lot of my friends were around that mark as well. So, you know, if one of those had missed, it would have been tough on them. So it's just one of them things. But it's all about bouncing back. And when you do get starts, you know, just making the most of them. So that's what I've done this year.
Well, you don't have to look at 1-1-10 this year, but you do have to look at the top 60, because that win takes you to 66th in the Race to Dubai. And you'll be looking forward to securing your place at the DP World Championship.
Absolutely. I'll be phoning Darren Clark up as well, I guess, today, because I'll be top of the Ryder Cup standing. So that'd be nice too. But no, I mean, it's just a great feeling. I think I went out over the last sort of 3 weeks. I had a 3-week trip, really got my head on. And I think I made 18 birdies in the Czech Republic. You know, I made 20 birdies a week before. I have been playing well, you know, that's been the frustrating thing for me. You know, my short game's been the thing that I can rely on a lot of the times. So it's just been a little bit rusty, I think, with not being able to prepare as well as I wanted to. It just kind of shows that hard work does pay off. And, you know, to chip in at a time like that yesterday was, it just kind of proved it, really.
We mentioned those big events coming up towards the end of this year, then running into next year. And you had a joke about the Ryder Cup there, but does your mind start to think about what potentially you can achieve over the next 12 months, Lee?
Well, I think so. I think I've got to be confident, you know, going into the next sort of run of events. And, you know, I didn't expect to be playing the British Masters or maybe Portugal and, you know, some of the big events coming in. And, you know, now I'm in all of them. So certainly my goals and aspirations for this year now have changed considerably. So I've just got to go out there and just keep playing well. If I keep playing like I've been playing, then there's no reason I shouldn't do well. So you never know. Watch this space.
Well, we wish you well for the remainder of the year and going into 2016. Lee, thanks very much for joining us on the Race to Dubai podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for talking to me, guys.
Well, that was Lee Slattery talking about his win in Russia. He does seem a very well-rounded individual. He talked about his family there as well. That's obviously helped him over the course of this year, Ewan.
Without any question. And when you've had ups and downs in this game, you must be able to adapt to them. And you're right, well-rounded is a very good way to describe him. I also liked how confident he was going into the final section now, because he knows what he can play in. And he really should be pushing for a final series on the European Tour. Get into that top 60. And then, of course, it makes the start of next season so much easier for him.
And the ambitions change, as Lee was suggesting then. He joked about being top of the Ryder Cup rankings, but it can give you some confidence to see you in positions like that. And we've always thought, Ewan, that Lee should be winning more European Tour events. And in the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be fascinating to see what he does on the golf course.
Well, he's still got plenty of time. He's still young enough. And as I say, if you don't have ups and downs in this world, you don't really learn anything. It's easy to say when you've won a tournament that you've learned this, that and the other, but you learn more from the tournaments that you actually lose. So I think the future is bright for him. I think he was very upbeat there, and why not? second victory on the tour. Great time of his life for him.
Well, it was Lee Slattery's second European Tour victory with a gap of 3 years and 332 days or 105 European Tour events since the first. It equals his largest European Tour prize of €166,660 he won at the 2011 Bankia Madrid Masters. He moves to 66 in the race to Dubai with 327,582 points. And he could move into the top 200 in the world from 381st. First, once this week's official world golf rankings are confirmed. Plus, he gains a European Tour exemption until the end of 2016. And Ewan, that is key because he can plan now for the next year.
That's worth more than the Euros that he managed to bank over there. You're right, he can now look at the schedule for next year, pick and choose the tournaments he wants to play on whatever golf courses he feels he has the best chance to play on. That really is the biggest prize of all.
Let's now hear from the runner-up, Stanislav Goya, whose tournaments included 48 straight holes without dropping a shot.
It's been a while since I have done that, but yeah, I play great the last three, 4 days. After the how I started the year playing and the way I played, you know, this tournament, he gave me a better taste in the mouth, you know. At one point I was leading, you know, and I finished second at the end. Lee played great, finished great, you know, with a chip in the 17th. I done the best. I think I play great, and he just beat me by one. But what can I do? I just pretty happy anyway. To be honest, that shot on 13, the shank that I hit, it was out of the blue. You know, I haven't hit the shank in a while. But I think that's the only shot that I actually missed today, and I'm happy about it. And I'm happy the way I handled the situation.
The bogey on 13 he was referring to, also bogey on 15 down the stretch. He just looked a little nervous to me, Goya.
I thought if he hadn't made the bogey at 13, the other one wouldn't have arrived. But, of course, we'll never know that. It's what happens over the closing nine holes of a tournament. You can't afford a slip-up. You can earlier in the week because there's time to recover. But into the middle of the back nine, no real time for him to get back.
All golfers, of course, take positives when they go close to a victory. But he knows that potentially he should have got the job done. And it's how he reacts, I guess, from here on in, Ewan. We'll find out what type of golfer he is.
I think every time you get in the position he found himself in on Sunday, whether you win or whether you lose, you learn something about yourself. And I wouldn't say it makes the next time easy, but it makes it easier.
Well, he won in Denmark recently and England's David Horsey was trying to defend his Russian Open title but finished in third, two shots behind Slattery on 13 under.
It's always nice to come back and do well and put in another good performance. It's nice to be back into contention more consistently, so hopefully I can continue this for the rest of the season. And if I'd have followed a few more putts maybe this week, it might have been a different story, but sometimes you have those sorts of weeks and you've just got to take the positives and move on.
We spoke to David Horsey after his win in Denmark and he suggested that he's got the appetite to win more. He was hungry for further success. And I think we saw that this week. He seems to be a player just about, maybe, Ewan, to jump up to that next level on tour.
I don't think too many would disagree with that. But, you know, there's nothing like winning. The belief, the confidence, and it takes your mind off scoring. It takes your mind off how you play golf. You go out there with that winning mentality. And I'd be very surprised if Horsey doesn't challenge again or win before the end of the season.
And I guess when you're coming off a recent win, when you're going down the stretch, you're looking to win more events. You're not just looking for top fives or top tens or looking to secure cards. Your mindset is completely different.
You've only got to look at the final two rounds of David Horsey, 66 and 68 over the last 36 holes. It shows what type of form he's in. And if he continues to do that, more chances will come. It's a question of whether he goes ahead and grabs them with both hands.
Well, James Heath was one of four players who tied fourth on 12 under par. It was his best European Tour finish and it rounded off a landmark week for the Englishman.
Got engaged last Sunday, but I figured I'd got to pay for the ring somehow. That's why I've come out all guns blazing this week. When you're under pressure, suddenly the ball looks like a marble. You know, the hole shrinks and all this sort of stuff and your legs all go to jelly, but it's good, it's fun. I love it, but wish I was just there more often. And it's just great for the confidence, great for the bank account and hopefully take some form to Kazakhstan next week.
James Heath with a good finish. He's got to pay for the wedding somehow, as he suggested there. Maybe you should propose a little bit more often, Ewan.
€40,000 in the end for James, who had a wonderful amateur record, but has found it quite difficult coming on to the professional tour. And he's not alone in that. Some people adapt quicker than others.
Of course, Kazakhstan, mentioned there by James, is the next stop on the European Challenge Tour. Let's move on to the top 10 from our latest European Tour event, the M2M Russian Open. Ewan, who finished in the top 10 at the weekend?
There was a three-way tie for 8th England's Ben Evans at a final round of 67, Scotland's Craig Lee and Jake Roos of South Africa, who finished with a round of 63, a best of the day that on Sunday. There was a four-way tie for 4th, James Heath we've talked about. Alongside him was Oscar Henningsen, Michael Hoy, who closed out with a 64, and Pablo Martin Benavides of Spain. Which leaves us with the top three, David Horsey in third. Solo second was Goya, but this was a week that belonged to England's Lee Slattery.
What about the home challenge? Andrei Pavlov became the first ever Russian to make a cut on the European Tour. It's been a significant week, obviously, for him. And Russian golf in general, Ewan, the European Tour likes to go to new venues, new countries. And over the years, we've seen Challenge Tour events being played in Russia. And this is terrific for Russian golf, that potentially they found a player that maybe can go on and challenge for European Tour victories in the future.
Well, it's a massive step forward for the country and indeed for Pavlov. And I remember in China many years ago, there weren't many Chinese players, but 7 or 8 of them off their order of merit would get an invite into the tournament and they wouldn't make the cut by 10, 15 shots. Slowly but surely as the years passed, they then started to make the cut, then started to be in the final few groups. This is a very young stage of the golfing life in Russia, but Pavlov, I think, has taken them on to another level.
Pavlov, of course, the golfer who carded a 17 in Austria, bouncing back to make the cut in Russia, and it will be interesting to see how Pavlov progresses on the European Tour. Ewan, can we have the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please?
In 10th place is Henrik Stenson, and just ahead of him, the BMW PGA champion from Korea, Ben An. Anirban Lahiri, two-time winner this year, is in 8th, and just ahead of him from Austria is Bernd Wiesberger. Shane Lowry just outside the top 5, and that top 5 includes Brandon Grace of South Africa, Justin Rose in 4th, Lee Oosthuizen into the top 3, and the top 2 are Danny Willett in 2nd. It's headed by McIlroy, who's less than half a million ahead of Danny Willett, and 6 players are within a million points as we head towards the final series.
Well, speaking of McIlroy, the European Tour this week announced that the Northern Irish golfer has been granted approval by Chief Executive Keith Pelly to remain in the final 2015 Race to Dubai rankings. 2014 winner McIlroy is leading the 2015 list, and before his ankle ligament injury, was poised to comfortably meet the 13 tournaments per season rule stipulated under the membership criteria of the European Tour. But he had to miss the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open, the Open Championship and the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, and McIlroy will now have to play a minimum of 3 more European Tour events before the end of the year, bringing him to his revised minimum obligation of 12 events. Keith Pelly said, "These are exceptional circumstances and I have taken this situation and the resulting decision very seriously. I have spent the last 2 weeks examining every angle and every possible solution, and I have spoken with Rory and his team, as well as independent medical advisors and some prominent players. After reviewing and discussing all the medical reports and recommendations, while at the same time recognising that Rory is a world golfer with global commitments, I am convinced that he could not commit to any further tournament participation without risking further injury and persistent weakness to the ankle in the future." Ewan, a sensible decision from the European Tour, you feel?
The more you see and hear of Keith Pelly, I think the more impressed you are by him. The first thing he did was not go to the player, but go to the medical staff, find out what the injury is, find out how serious the injury could have been. He took all of these things, put them in a circle, and he's come out with the answer here. And I don't think anyone will be disappointed with the final words from Pelly.
Speaking of impressive, we get to the selections from last week, Ewan, and yourself. You tipped up Michael Hoey, who finished tied 4th. And the reason why it was impressive was because the last selection that you had on the Race to Dubai show when I was hosting was James Morrison, who missed the cut by 6. So that's a huge improvement, Ewan. Well done.
Well, thank you very much. But you see, I was under the impression that the Russian Open was played over 5 rounds. And Michael Hoey was just moving into position after that final round, as it turned out, of 64. Otherwise, it could have been a victory. So you can take what you want out of that, believe it or not.
Robert Lee went for Robert Dinwiddie, who finished tied 28th. I expected a little bit more from both Roberts, I think, last week.
Without any question, especially after the fourth place finish the week before. But these are two good weeks for Dinwiddie, a fourth and a top 30 added to that, and of course another chance to improve on it this week.
In last week's Fantasy Race to Dubai, it was Rick Morris who led the way with nearly 600,000 points. His team featured both the winner Lee Slattery and runner-up Stanislaw Goya. There's a new leader overall. Gareth Clayton has been dethroned by Oki90, who now has almost 29 million points. Head to europeantour.com from Tuesday for this week's Fantasy 5 to watch at the KLM Open. And to pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. In other news, Colin Montgomery became the first player to win a title in three consecutive years on both the European Tour and Senior Tour with a dramatic win in the Travis Perkins Masters at Woburn. Monty beat fellow Scot Ross Drummond with an 18-foot birdie at the second extra hole. Drummond had three-putted on the 72nd green to miss out on what would have been a first victory in 615 European or Senior Tour starts. Montgomery is the quickest player to seven European Senior Tour victories. He needed just 15 events, beating the 20 of Carl Mason. Ewan, Monty is just playing terrifically well at the moment.
When you get to 50, if you've no ailments or aches and pains and you've got the desire, then you've got the recipe for success. And Montgomery certainly has that. If you look at the way he won at Woburn, it's one of the tightest tee shots you'll find anywhere in Europe. He took the driver, knowing that the man in front of him had three-putted, found the middle of the narrow gap, chip and a putt, birdie, got him into the playoff, and really there was only one winner from there on. And that win was Montgomery's 47th of what's been an outstanding career.
Speaking of multiple winners, Tony Johnston bowed out of competitive golf at the weekend. He's been a fantastic ambassador for the sport, Ewan, and a brilliant player in his day.
Yes, and he's vice-captain of the International President's Cup side in Korea next month, so he'll be turning his attentions to that. Super career, 24 wins in all from Tony, pretty much all around the world. And he had success at Woburn in his regular career on the European Tour, so that was a pretty good place to wind it all up. Top man, top player.
Elsewhere, Australian Scott Arnold secured a maiden European Challenge Tour title at the Cordon Golf Open. The former world amateur number one beat Dutchman Dan Housing by two shots. On the PGA Tour, the Deutsche Bank event finishes on Monday, and so the top 10 world rankings have yet to be updated for the week. Jordan Spieth missed his second cut in a row, so Rory McIlroy is set to remain as world number one. Ewan, on Spieth, it's been a long, hard season. Is it to be expected that his game has dipped a little recently?
I think it's the way the game is. If you go back to the end of last year, the victory in Australia came straight back to win in America, and we all know what's happened in the major championships this year. This is the first real blip that he's faced since he was up there challenging for the world number one place. So we'll be interested to see how he plays over the next 2 weeks over in Chicago, in the BMW there, and of course down at Eastlake in the Tour Championship.
On to this week's action on the European Tour and the KLM Open at Kennemer Golf and Country Club in the Netherlands. Paul Casey was the 2014 champion, but does not defend his title this week. What about the course, first of all, Ewan? Because we've seen the KLM Open swap from Hilversum now to Kennemer, as it has been for the last couple of years. What can the players expect?
Well, they're very different courses. Hilversum, very much a shortish tree line golf course in the shape of Sunningdale, silver birch trees and the pine. As far as the Kennemer Golf Club is concerned, a lot depends on the weather. It's windy there. It's not too far away from the coast. It's one of the great old Dutch courses, and over the years, it's produced some great champions, and I suspect it will do the same again this week.
There's a good field as well, Ewan, with the odd surprising name teeing up.
There is a certain Tom Watson from the United States, 65 years of age now, and Tom deciding that because the golf course was inside the top 100 in the world, it ticked all the boxes for him. So he's going to tee up in the KLM Open. That's very good news.
And alongside Tom Watson, there's a good European Tour contingent.
Certainly a lot of European Tour winners. The experienced Thomas Bjorn will return to action in Europe this week. Gregory Birdie is one of these players who, when he gets in contention, he can go ahead and win. So a lot of people will have their eyes on the Frenchman. And a bit further down the list, you look at people like Nicholas Coulsarts, and there's not an awful lot of run on the fairways at Kennemer, even though it's classed as a links course. Hitting the ball a long way, I think, is a big advantage around there. Darren Clark, of course, a former winner, 2008, and the European Ryder Cup captain, comes back to a place where he has fond memories.
And, of course, it's a chance to pick up Ryder Cup points as well. This is the second counting event to the next renewal, Ewan.
Yes, and a pretty good prize fund as well, and that's why I think we've got a top-class field. It's a strong field there, and I think it's any one of 25 that can win.
OK, well, we need to narrow it down. Your fantasy race to Dubai tips this week. I say tips, plural. You can only have one, unfortunately. So who are you going for?
Well, seeing as I'm on a pretty good roll at the moment, I'm going to go for young Matt Fitzpatrick.
And the reason being, he's come close, hasn't he, over the course of the summer?
He has. And what I like about Matt is he hasn't actually come on to the tour and hit the headlines right away. It's been quite a slow progress, but it's been steady progress. And I think with all his experience of playing in the amateur game on courses like this, I think that will stand him in good stead. And he could well be the champion next Sunday.
Tyrrell Hatton, for me, playing well. He's been going close over the course of the summer. Shot a final round 65 here last season as well. He's another young player that potentially you and a win is just around the corner.
I've thought that over the last few months. You do realise he hasn't played since the PGA Championship. Maybe some rust in there.
Well rested, I'd like to say.
Oh, okay.
Well rested.
I like the way you're thinking.
Well, that wraps it up for now. Next week, we'll review the KLM Open and preview the 72nd Open d'Italia presented by Damiani. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray and myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.